Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Yesterday we talked to you about how the Fort Worth police chief is retiring. But now Fort Worth needs a new city manager, and tonight they could make a decision.
The Fort Worth City Council will vote to appoint Jay Chapa city manager. He worked for the city 25 years, running offices like community and economic development. When current city manager David Cook announced his retirement, Fort Worth launched a national search drawing 150 candidates, with Mayor Matty Parker saying Chapa has a proven record of financial stewardship to set up the 12th biggest city in the country for success in the future. But a couple councilmen say Fort Worth should instead restart the process. Chris Nettles says the city should have set up public meetings to hear from residents, saying the offer letter was sent with salary and benefits already negotiated. Fort Worth picked 14 semifinalists for the job before council members interviewed 5 applicants and announced Chapa as their pick last week. If they approve him today, he would start January 27th. From the 24-Hour News Center, Alan Skaya, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
North Texas might be the fastest growing area in the country, but North Texas doesn't have the best reputation as a caring area. Wallet Hub looks at 182 cities for qualities that show that you want to help others in some way, like volunteering or donating money. Texas didn't score too high in the caring and sharing. Only Plano landed in the top 10 at 10th place. The best DFW could do next, Garland, way down in 39th. Fort Worth is 54th and Arlington 58th.
A Saginaw man has been sentenced to 7 years on each of 2 charges for making bomb threats in Lake Worth. 44-year-old Donald Mark Scott has pleaded guilty on 2 charges of making terroristic threats. On July 25th, Scott told authorities he had planted explosive devices around Lake Worth. A Walmart had to be evacuated and roads around the city had to be shut down. Scott was on parole for bank robbery at the time. A former Dallas police officer has pleaded guilty to a reduced charge in connection with the 2020 George Floyd protests.
Former Senior Corporal Ryan Mayberry is the final of 3 officers charged with roughing up demonstrators in downtown Dallas. On May 30th, 2020, Mayberry was in the downtown area as protesters took to the streets. Court records say he was the one who fired a beanbag out of a police weapon, hitting Brandon Sines in the face. It cost Sines his eye. Mayberry pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor assault charge and was put on probation for 2 years. 2 other officers were charged that night. Both former Garland officer Joe Privett and former Dallas cop Melvin Williams also got probation. All 3 lost their law enforcement licenses. From the 24-Hour News Center, LP Phillips News, Radio 1080 KRLD.
North Texas Congressman Michael Burgess announced on X that he lost his oldest daughter, Christine, over the weekend. He says she died in her sleep. No details about the cause. But the Burgess family asking for their privacy during this time. Burgess is retiring from the House. He didn't run for re-election. Brandon Gill takes over his seat.
Texas tops the list of states suffering the most from porch piracy.
The numbers in a study from the Action Network show a 30% chance of a package being swiped from your Texas front porch. That's regular mail first, then Amazon second. One porch pirate victim says thieves are well aware of video surveillance and usually hide their faces with hoodies or hats. Authorities have a few tips for us. Try to have delivery drivers put packages behind bushes or trash carts to keep them out of sight. Pick the delivery option to require a signature. Ask your neighbors to grab a package from your porch before thieves do. And try scheduling deliveries when you or someone else is at home. From the 24-Hour News Center, Mark Lambert, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Luigi Mangione is being held without bail, arraigned on a gun forgery and other charges. Those are the charges in Pennsylvania. They arrested him at that McDonald's in Altoona, which is about 100 miles east of Pittsburgh, close to 300 miles from New York City, though, after he was recognized by another customer. Reporter Mary Lynn Buckley is with 1010 Winds in New York City, made the trip to Altoona to check in on this story and joins us right now on KRLD. Tell us what's the latest. What's going on in Altoona this morning?
Yes, so we actually have just gotten word there is going to be an extradition hearing. So we are soon going to be heading to the Blair County Courthouse. Right now, the entire morning, you know, we've really been camped outside of McDonald's, which is where Mangione was actually found. So he was eating breakfast inside of there. And actually, some customers who frequent McDonald's said they saw him yesterday, and one man, Larry, he opened up about his experience. He said, you know what, me and my friends, we noticed that this guy looked familiar, and we first were joking about it, but then it was the McDonald's employee that took his order and said, you know what, I better call police because I'm getting a weird feeling.
That's awesome. And then the police came. Talk about how they approached Mangione and his demeanor.
So what they did was they saw Mangione, and right away they said, you know, this guy looks like he matches his description, but he did have a mask on. So they asked him to pull down his mask, and the clues just started piecing together. They said, have you been to New York City recently? And that was the question that really made him freeze up. His whole demeanor changed. He started kind of shaking, is what officers described, and he didn't really answer the question directly. And he also lied about his name. So those three things put together is when officers were, you know, like, you know what? This seems like this could be a guy that needs to be brought in for questioning.
And we're learning a lot about this guy, too. Went to a very exclusive prep school, Ivy League education. What else have we learned about him?
Oh, yeah. He was a very smart guy. You know, he got his bachelor's and his master's from UPenn. He was valedictorian of his class at a private school in Maryland. And people that knew him said, you know, he was brilliant. He was bright-eyed, smart. He really cared about fitness. He moved all around the country. He had places in Hawaii, California, and no one really expected anything like this. But something that did seem odd is one of his classmates said that he went completely off the grid in October. And then that seems like when things started kind of taking a turn on his social media. He was posting differently than he had years before. And it seems like he always had some sort of agenda against the healthcare industry, it seems like, when you're looking back at some of his posts.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The motivation here, why exactly, or do we have any clue why it was Brian Thompson that he targeted here, other than him being the CEO of United?
Yeah, you know, it's not exactly clear yet, but based on his social media posts, you can tell that he was very against the healthcare system, and especially when they denied people, you know, claims or money that maybe they needed towards operations. It's not clear if he personally was impacted or a family member, but it really did go to show that he was passionate about stopping people. I mean, even when police caught him, he had a 3-page manifesto in his backpack, and it was handwritten and it said some crazy things. So, you know, cops right away just noticed this is someone that really needs to be taken into questioning.
Have we heard from his family at all?
So they put out a statement. They haven't spoken publicly, but they did put out a statement saying they were shocked, and they used the word devastated hearing about this, or hearing that their son possibly could be capable of doing this. But they haven't said anything beyond that. You know, there really is no indication how close they were, if they were a close-knit family. I mean, at times it looked like Mangione lived in Hawaii, and it looked like his family lived in Maryland, so they may not have been in contact too much. But that part's still unclear. They just seem very upset, you know, hearing about this and seeing their son's mugshot.
So to walk us through the timeline here, Mary Lynn, whoever did this, shoots, this is what
right.
Police are assuming, shoots, you know, shoots Thompson, goes into Central Park, and then what? Switches backpacks, changes clothes, and gets on a bus?
So, yeah, so he goes into Central Park, and it kind of seemed like a brilliant escape plan. You know, he takes a bike into Central Park. It's very wooded. There aren't a lot of cameras. There are spots that are quiet with no people. So it seemed like he ditched the backpack, he ditched the bike, and basically he's last seen on camera getting onto a Port Authority bus right by the George Washington Bridge. So he fled New York City. He was long gone from the Upper West Side at that hostel that he was staying at. And then from there, what Pennsylvania State Police have been telling us is that they're still retracing his steps, but he seemed to have taken off from New York City through New Jersey, made it here to PA, and then from PA went from Philly all the way to Pittsburgh. And now some way in between, he's found here in Altoona. But it doesn't seem like he has any connection in Altoona.
What is the reaction there in Altoona? They must be shocked that this has happened in their town.
This is a very small town. You know, it's close-knit. A lot of people know each other. People are very friendly. And not much goes on. It's very small town living, it seems. So when they, you know, heard about this, and people that witnessed Mangione here, they saw the arrest. It's a lot of very big news, and it's shocking. Because, like I said, things like this don't normally happen in a small town like Altoona. You know, people are just shocked that, one, he stopped off here, and that, you know, it really was based on one Good Samaritan that saw him, thought he looked familiar, told the McDonald's employee, and they called it in. If that one person didn't have their eyes open or speak up, he could still be out on the loose.
Yeah, it's what you were saying, a small town. Maybe it's a good thing that it was in a small town. People seem to be a little bit more observant of strangers and everything, and that's probably how the cops were able to catch this guy.
Yeah, they're paying attention for sure. I mean, it was the customer, it was the McDonald's employee, and then even today I met another customer who said, yeah, you know, me and my friends noticed something was up too. And although they were kind of joking about it a little bit more, maybe they didn't want to fully make that call because they weren't confident. You know, we have to remember too, he did have a mask on even when he was eating, but people were paying attention. And I think that NYPD really did put that picture all over. This was a statewide manhunt, so people were really determined to, if you saw him or you saw someone that maybe looked like him, give police a call. Let them try and see if it is.
Mary Lynn, thank you so much. Great information. That is Mary Lynn Buckley, reporter at 1010 Winds in New York City in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt, is with us now. 105.3, The Fan, he joins us. And, boy, if ever one play was emblematic of an entire season, Bobby, I think that was it.
Yeah, it's poetic. It's a perfect analogy for how things have gone, like you say there. And so, I mean, look, it was obviously a big turning point in the game. And, like you could see just how demoralized everybody on the defensive side was, particularly Micah Parsons. But for a couple plays after that, I mean, it's still, you've got an opportunity to stop them. And then they hit Ja'Marr Chase on just a simple hitch route. And Deron Bland just can't make a tackle in space, and he takes off down the sideline, and they seal up that victory. But yeah, it's something that absolutely, after the game, you saw just how many people, from players to coaches to Jerry Jones, were frustrated and borderline depressed with that outcome.
This guy, Amani Ora, help us with the pronunciation.
Orawarie.
Mm-hmm. He'd just come off the injured list this week. What was he just caught up in the moment and saw a loose ball and reacted instinctively?
Yeah, I think he knows the rule, I would imagine. He didn't talk after the game. He didn't decline to. His teammates declined to get out of the way to make him available. So they said, no, we're shutting this down. He's not going to talk tonight. And so, but I imagine he knows the rule, and it was more just, you know, kind of instinctual. The ball's right there. I turn around, there's a ball bouncing towards me, I'm supposed to scoop it up. And I think you're just kind of operating on instinct that says, go and get it. And I think that's what he ran into there. Like I said, I'm certain he knows the rule. It's something that special teams units go over every week, just as a refresher, as a reminder, because it's just such a rarity that it happens in a game. So they put that forward, and I'm sure he was aware of it. It's just in that moment, you're just kind of operating off of reactionary, skills.
You talked about special teams there. Special teams this year has been a rough spot. We've seen, kicking doing well, Brandon Aubrey, even some returns from Turpin, but man, these special teams have really cost the Cowboys some games. Is John Fossil back as a special teams coach next year?
I don't know how many coaches, period, are back next year. Bones Fossil is still regarded as he's one of the most highly respected special teams coaches by people around the league. I know he's a mad scientist, and he will do things sometimes that you're just
fake
like
punts.
you're just saying to yourself, like, you don't have to do that much. You can pull it back a little. But that's something where people still really respect him, and the players love him and feel like he's really invested in them. So players coach, somebody that's respected around the league, I'm sure that even if Mike McCarthy's not back, whoever is brought in wouldn't be opposed to at least considering Bones Fossil, because he just has that reputation across the league. But as with anything, when a head coach has changed out, everybody's jobs are on the line at that point. And so if the Cowboys go that direction, then, he definitely would have his job in jeopardy.
We were expecting bad news with regards to a DeMarvion Overshown and his knee injury from last night, and we got that this morning. I guess he's done for the year.
Yeah, he's done for the year, and he might be done for a year or more. I mean, it was a very serious knee injury, and Jerry Jones told us on the fan this morning that he will have surgery. They said they were still waiting on an MRI for confirmation. I think they have a pretty good handle on just how severe this injury is, and you know, they knew instantly, all right, we got to have surgery on this and shut it down because this is a significant injury. And it's just devastating for a guy who dealt with a knee injury last year, missed the whole season, his whole rookie year, had played so well this year, and is just one of the all-around great guys in that locker room.
Is this the same knee, by the way?
No, it is not. It is the other knee. Oh. And so this is, I mean, he is Texan, born and raised. He's from a little town called Arp, Texas. And then he went to the University of Texas, and he was drafted by the Cowboys. So it's devastating. And there were a lot of players emotional in the locker room last night talking about it because he's just so well thought of by his teammates.
Yeah, that was I when I heard Micah Parsons start tearing up a little bit talking about it, I knew, it's got to be a serious injury.
Bobby, thanks so much. We appreciate it as always. We'll catch up with you next week after Carolina. Cowboys insider Bobby Belt is with us here on KRLD. Cowboys and Panthers Sunday. The 3-10 Carolina Panthers are favored by 1 point in that game.
Oh, that's going to be a barn burner. Everybody's going to be watching that one.
That's a nooner, by the way. That's an early game.
Exactly, as it should be.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.